says this, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." In word, in conversation, or that is behavior, lifestyle, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself, Timothy, and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself, your life, and them that shall hear thee. And chapter 6 and verse 11. But thou, he's writing to Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. And the verse goes on. Look at verse 20. O Timothy. I'll do it again. Get the emphasis. O Timothy. Keep, guard that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, and so on. Oh, Timothy! You can hear the urgency, you can hear the intensity in his voice. Oh, Timothy! Before I put this pen down, I want to make it perfectly clear to you, Timothy. Oh, Timothy! This is your life. You only get one kick at the can. You don't get to do it over again. If you mess up this time, you've messed up in life. Oh, Timothy! That's really what Paul is saying. And so don't be distracted, Timothy, by everything that's going on in the assembly or things that people are saying about you. You just be an example of the believer. You let your light shine brightly from now until you go home to heaven. Now, that's sort of the basis of what I want you to think about. The potential of a single life, the power of an exemplary life, and the product of a disciplined life. The potential of a single life. I know you're here with your friends, but each of you individually, you are an individual Christian, and each one of us individually will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ to give an account of my life, and you will give an account of your life individually. So the potential of a single life, and what we're going to do for a few minutes this evening, we're going to mix some stories, some anecdotes, with some beautiful hymns that you know. You may be tired. My voice is tired. You have to listen to it. And we're going to do a little bit of singing. Actually, I don't know whether when you see that one, can you think of a song that goes, "This little light of mine"? This little light of mine, sing it. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. That wasn't one of the hymns I was going to sing, but anyway, so we messed that one up. But that's what it's all about, letting your light shine brightly. There are all kinds of things in the world that will try to dim your light, tone it down, or even snuff it out. But let your light shine. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy. And what I want you to think about, some of the beautiful hymns that we sing. Fanny Crosby, she had an infection at birth. you know about her probably, caused her blindness at the age of 6 weeks. She became permanently, irreversibly blind. And she trusted Christ as her Savior. And she wrote over 8,000 hymns. 8,000 hymns. Dear Fanny did. Fanny Crosby. Did she make a difference with her life? You'd say, well, she was incapacitated in certain ways. She couldn't see. But there was nothing that could hold Fanny Crosby back. She wanted to let her light shine in her physical darkness of not being able to see. Yet she gave us 8,000 beautiful hymns. And this is one of them. Sing it together. I am thine, O Lord, I ever thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious wounded side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with Thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross, this wounded side. You know, Fanny Crosby and Mr. Doan, they were sitting in Mr. Doan's home in Cincinnati, Ohio. And they were talking about the personal nearness of God. Just as the sun was setting, they're having this evening discussion about how beautiful it was to have an intimate relationship with God. And that is the background. Fanny Crosby went home that night. She was so impressed that these words came to her mind. And we sing it, but we don't always think about Fanny Crosby. And do you know how many other hymns that you might recognize that she wrote? All the way the Savior leads me, Blessed Assurance, Close to Thee, Jesus is tenderly calling you home. My Savior, first of all, near the cross, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. We're not going to sing all these tonight. Rescue the perishing. She wrote all these, safe in the arms of Jesus. Savior, more than life to me. Tell me the story of Jesus. To God be the glory. She wrote that one too. Fanny Crosby, there are probably poets in the audience tonight. Are you using your talents for the Lord? Did Fanny Crosby make a difference? Fanny Crosby did. She wasn't the only one. There was a lady by the name of Frances Ridley, Havergal, precocious. She was reading at the age of 3. Now that's good. She was doing poetry at the age of 7. At the age of 20, she could speak fluently 7 different languages, and she had memorized the New Testament, the Psalms, Isaiah, and the minor prophets. I don't know that if I was going to set my mind to memorizing that I would actually start or think about the minor prophets. I would probably stick in the New Testament. But that's what Frances Ridley Havergal did. She memorized all those books of the Bible. She was a contralto soloist, a pianist. She was saved at the age of 14, just 2 years after her mother died. Sometimes the Lord allows crises to come into our lives, not just for those who are unsaved in their sins, but even those of us who are saved. God allows crises to come into our life to wake us up and say, Peter, you only have one life to live. And if that was to be you, what have you done for the Lord? And so, she was saved at the age of 14. She was visiting in Germany, and she was looking at a painting, Steinberg's painting of Christ, Ecce Homo. It was the name of the painting. On the motto, placed straight under the picture of our Savior, in the study of a German man of God, she looked at that picture, and on that motto it said, this I have done for you, what have you done for me? She was 21 at the time. January the 10th, 1858, 21. And she looked at that motto underneath the picture of Christ. This I have done for you, what have you done for me? And that gave rise to, this isn't the way it's written in our hymn book. Someone has taken some license to alter it slightly. But this is the way Frances Ridley Havergal wrote it initially, because she was thinking, Jesus said, I gave my life for you. My precious blood was shed. I gave my life for you, my precious blood I shed, that you might ransom be and raise up from the dead. I gave my life for you, what have you given for me? I gave my life for you, what have you given for me? I suffered much for you, more than your tongue can tell. A bitterest agony to rescue you from hell. I've borne it all for you. What have you borne for me? I've borne it all for you. What have you borne for me? And I have brought to you, down from my home above, salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to you. What have you brought to me? I bring rich gifts to you. What have you brought to me? And so that's the hymn that came from a 21-year-old girl who sat beneath a painting and her heart was touched. He did that for me. Whatever could I do for him? Is that the response of your heart at this Easter weekend? That should be our response. She wrote that hymn with a pencil on a piece of paper, and she read them over, and she crumpled them up, and she tossed them into the fire. But they fell out untouched. And she picked them up, and some months later she showed them to her dad, and he encouraged her to preserve them. Aren't we happy that those words were preserved? She wrote another hymn. At the age of 37, that was 21, at the age of 37, unconditional surrender. Take my life and let it be. She wrote that at 37, and then she died at 43. Surrendered totally at the age of 37. 6 years later, gone home to glory. Have you ever surrendered your life, dear young person, to the Lord? You don't know how many months or how many years you have to be faithful to Him down here. Don't be wavering. Live for Him. This is what counts. This is a life for eternal significance. That's where it's at. We're so glad you're here singing these hymns. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Swift and beautiful for Thee. This is what we're doing. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with message, yes, from Thee. Filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. Every power as Thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own. It shall be Thy royal throne. It shall be Thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour. At Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for Thee. Ever only all for me. The name C.T. Studd, I don't know whether that rings a bell with you or not. He was born into a wealthy English home. He was a cricket champion. I looked it up early this morning, Googled it, and he was a cricket champion. And he's a member of the Cambridge Seven. He wrote these words. I had known about Jesus dying for me, but I had never understood that if He died for me, then I did not belong to myself. Redemption means buying back, so that if I belonged to Him, either I had to be a thief and keep what wasn't mine, or else I had to give up everything to God. When I came to see that Jesus died for me, it didn't seem hard to give it all up for Him. And He did. From a wealthy home, He left His wealth. He left His fame as a cricket champion. He left the comforts of England. He went to China. He spent 15 years for the Lord in China. He served the Lord in India for 7 years. And then he gave the rest of his life to Congo. His life motto was this: if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him. The Easter conference would be well worth it if there was just one lady, one man in this crowd, and you left with a heart subdued and just melted in the presence of Christ and went out to the parking lot and said, "Lord, as I drive away tonight, I want my life to change. I want to start living with You. I want to be serious about my Christian life. I want a daily walk with You. I want to have that intimate relationship with You." C.T. Studd got there. Will you? John Newton. Newton's mother died when he was 7 years old. We all know this story. At age 11, he only had a couple of years of schooling, but his father was a man that sailed the oceans, lived a wicked, godless life. And he took his young boy at age 11 on the stormy seas of the Atlantic Ocean and around the world. And John Newton lived a very reckless life, a godless life. He called himself an abandoned man. In fact, he was once flogged as a deserter of the Navy. For 15 months he lived, he half starved and ill-treated. He was a slave in Africa. He really went to the extremities of living a life of wickedness. And he hit rock bottom. And this hymn that we love to sing so often, you know, he was on a boat one night. And he thought the boat was going down. He thought he was going out to meet his God. He was only 23 years old. And he cried out to the Lord for mercy. Would God save a wretch like him? And sure enough, on the boat, as a result of that storm, John Newton trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he went on to live a life for the Lord. If you were to visit over across the water, you would see on a little marble stone engraved these words: John Newton, clerk, once an infidel, a libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ restored, pardoned, appointed to preach the gospel which he had long labored to destroy. He wrote this hymn. Sing it. Stand and you need a break. Stand and sing it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did grace appear the hour I first believed. The Lord has promised good to me, His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and pour be as long as life endures. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've best days to sing God's praise. Then when we first meet, frogs out of your throat. Betty Scott Stamm, I don't know whether you recognize her name, while still a student in school, Betty wrote this in the front of her Bible. I don't know what you have written in the front of your Bible, just maybe your name, an address. It would be a great Easter conference if you chose to write something in the flyleaf of your Bible. Here's what she wrote, Betty Scott Stamm wrote in her Bible. Lord, I give up my own purposes and plans, all my own desires, hopes and ambitions, whether they be fleshly or soulish, and accept Thy will for my life. I give myself, my life, my all, utterly to Thee, to be Thine forever. I hand over to Thy keeping all of my friendships and my love. All the people whom I love are to take second place in my heart. Work out Thy whole will in my life at any cost. Now and forever, to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And Betty went to China. And at the age of 28, the year Albert Joyce and Herb Harris brought the gospel to Prince Edward Island, where I come from, 1934, while they were preaching in gospel tent meetings in PEI, over in China, at the age of 28, the Chinese were severing Betty Scott Stamm's head from her body. She was beheaded in 1934 at the age of 28. But she said, no, sacrifice was too great. I will lay down my life. I will give up my friends, the nearest and the dearest. Everything for Him. Does Christ have first place in my life? Does He have first place in your life? Adelaide Pollard, she believed that the Lord wanted her in Africa as a missionary. Maybe there's someone here and you're struggling. You think the Lord is calling you to some distant land or to downtown Toronto or downtown, I don't know where, New York City or Detroit. And you're struggling with it. She thought that the Lord wanted her to go to Africa as a missionary, but she wasn't able to even raise the funds for her ticket. In a very uncertain state of mind, somewhat disillusioned about it all, she went to a prayer meeting. Don't skip a prayer meeting. You don't know what you'll miss. A prayer meeting could change your perspective. You just never know. So be there. If everybody was as faithful attending the prayer meetings as you were, how many prayer meetings would have to be canceled? What do you think of that? She went to a prayer meeting and she heard an elderly person pray this. It's all right, Lord. It doesn't matter what You bring into our lives. Just have Your own way with us. At home that night, much encouraged, Adelaide Pollard wrote these words. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, yield it and still. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in Thy presence humbly I bow. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Wounded and weary, Help me, I pray. Power, oh power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. O'er my being, absolute sway. Fill thy spirit till all shall sing. Christ only, always living in me. Brian Bloom, Detroit Tigers fan, master student, water resources at Virginia Tech. He was preparing to defend his thesis. He had accepted a job in Baltimore, Maryland. But, I believe it's 2 years ago now, April the 16th, this month, April, if something was to happen to you this month, April, what testimony will you leave behind? It was April the 16th. At the age of 25, he died unexpectedly at the hand of a gunman who came into Virginia Tech. Here's how his friends remembered him. One said Brian was a Christian first and foremost, and that's what he'd want to be remembered for. A roommate who shared a room with him for a year. Here's what he said. A great guy with the kindest of hearts and a love for Christ that kept a well-needed balance in our apartment. Now, this wasn't a Christian college. Another roommate said, integrity and passion. He never wavered from his Christianity. And thank God he didn't. What a testimony he left behind. April the 16th, 25. What kind of a testimony will I leave behind? Living for Christ is a very serious matter. Oh yes, he was a Detroit Tigers fan. He could laugh, and he wasn't, you know, he was living in this world. He wasn't pent up in a little secluded cage. And yet, as he interacted with colleagues and people, they saw Christ in him. What do they see in me? Graham Townsend, he said, I've been meditating on the cross, and in particular what it cost the Father to give up His beloved Son to the torturer's death on a cross. And then he asked, what was my part in it? Not only was it my sin that put Him there, but if I lived at that time, it would probably have been me in that crowd shouting with everyone else, crucify Him! It just makes His sacrifice all the more personal, all the more amazing, and all the more humbling, Graham Townsend said. As I was thinking through this, I just began to sing the melody, and it flowed in the sort of way that makes you think you've pinched it from somewhere. So the melody was pretty instant, but the words took quite a bit of time, reworking things, trying to make every line as strong as it could be. And this was the product. This is what Graham Townsend wrote. This is what comes out. You might not be a poet, but when you were thinking and meditating upon Jesus Christ, it's bound to touch your hearts. If there's a spark of the love of God in your soul, if your life has been transformed by the gospel, you can't spend time thinking about Christ and your heart not be touched. And when he thought about the sufferings of Christ and how he would have nailed him to the tree if he had been there, he wrote this hymn. And you'll really have to help me with this. This is a new one for me. Who wants to start it? How deep the Father's love. Go ahead. I can... The Father's love for us, how vast
beyond all measure. He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great ring was the Father turns His face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds
very nice. It was in April of this past year. I had two emails from John Prinz one morning. And then I got a third email. And he said, Desmond has just been in a snowboarding accident. Ann and I are leaving right now for Calgary. A lot of things happen in April. Some of you are at Desmond's funeral. I spoke with the family before I spoke tonight. Those of you, I know there are family here tonight, but those of you who knew Desmond, knew him, stand. I just want to look. Who knew Desmond Prinz? Who talked to him? Who? There's two boys. Anybody else know Desmond Prinz? Ever sit in his presence? Ever been around him? Thank you. You can sit down. Life is very, very real. Desmond is gone. Born September the 3rd, 1985. Born again August 1994. With the Lord, April the 22nd, 2008. If that was you, and your parents, and your siblings, had to erect a stone in a cemetery in your town, first of all, let me ask you, would there be three important dates? Or just two? Would there be three important dates? or just two? And if you say three, Peter, are you happy with your life as it is now? If you were to go home to heaven in April of 2009, or are there some things you need to confess? Are there some things you need to make right? Is there a commitment you need to make to the Lord? Do you need to renew a commitment, a vow you made to the Lord? You could do it tonight in the quietness of your heart, in the solemnity of something like this. If this was my name on a headstone, am I pleased with my life to date? I would like you to pray for Brad Martin. I spoke with him. I don't know why our paths crossed. I think the Lord intended it. I don't know whether you know Brad Martin. He lives in Hamilton. He's 21 years old, 6 feet tall, 190 pounds. I met him at the Pearson Airport just the other Saturday night when I was on the way home. I said, "You look like a snowboarder." I said, "You look like a professional boarder." And he was. He's on Canada's national team. I didn't have any more tracks left on me to give him. For those of you who know snowboarding, he's one of very few superpipe competitors who consistently throws a frontside 1260 in his run. And I stood there in the airport that night, last Saturday night, and I told him about my friend Desmond. I didn't have a track. I would love to see Brad Martin saved. I'm trying to track him down now. I think I've got his address narrowed down. I don't want to be seen to be harassing or following a celebrity. But I would just like to be able to give him Desmond's story. Because he said to me, he was a very kind young man, he said, "I'm very sorry to hear about your friend." Christian living is very, very important and very serious. And if Desmond or others who are up there now, if they could beam down a message to you, if they could text you somehow, you know, I think they would say, give him as much while you're down there. Because I'm up here and I've seen his face. Live for him now. Make your life count. By and by, when I look on His face, beautiful face, born shadow face. By and by, when I look on His face, I wish I had given Him more, more, so much more. More of my life than I e'er gave before. By and by, when I look on His face, I'll wish I had given Him more. By and by, when He holds out His hands, welcoming hands, you should dance. By and by, when He holds out His hands, no wish I had given Him more, more, so much more, more of my heart than I e'er gave before. By and by, when He holds out His hands, I wish I had given Him more. I spoke at Kurt Wilson's funeral. Another young man in his 20s going home one night. Motorcycle. I saw the little road sign that he bumped into, just about 2 inches wide. And it sliced his helmet in half. I spoke at that funeral, and all I could think of, Kurt had his challenges living for the Lord. He felt he hadn't pleased the Lord very much. I had an email. I'd saved his emails. His parents even wondered if he was saved. But I had a record of his emails. Beautiful thoughts about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he just wanted to live for him more. When I spoke at his funeral, this hymn came to mind. And I'm not a poet. My father might have been. But I wrote, and then I'm not a singer either, and I tried to sing it. I'm up here, but you're still down there. Live for him now. Live for him now. I'm up here, but you're still down here. So give him much more, much more. I sang that from Kurt's perspective. How much are you willing to give the Lord Jesus Christ? By the way, Grace Reese Atkins wrote that beautiful hymn. I searched and searched and searched and searched online. I couldn't find two sentences about Grace Reese Atkins. A Christian in obscurity. Maybe you're in obscurity. But isn't that a beautiful hymn? Counts for eternity. Michael Griffith said this, what will we have to show for our life? Will it be measured by life's little rewards and successes? Some certificate of education? Some silver cups indicative of athletic prowess? A few medals? Some newspaper clippings? Promotion within our profession? Some status in the local community? A presentation clock on retirement? An obituary notice? And a well-attended funeral? Is that all life meant? Here's what Christian life is all about. You can live for Christ, or you can live for the world. And I'm in the center of that, and you're in the center. Every day we feel the tension. Christ is saying, I died to save you. Don't grovel in the dirt of earth. Don't live like people who have no Savior. Look up. Live a life of eternal significance. And you feel the upward tug at your heart at the Easter conference. But on Tuesday you go back. And you feel the old downward tug. Come on, out with the friends. Do what we do. Have some fun. Oh, it's all so shallow. Whatever the world has to offer. Which way do you want to be pulled tonight? Up towards Christ? A more intimate relationship with Christ? Or are you being pulled and lured in the direction of the world? It was April. I'm almost finished here. It was another April, April 99. Casey Bernal had dabbled in the occult and witchcraft. She was delivered from darkness and saved. That was in Littleton, Colorado. Casey sat in the school library reading her Bible. The gunmen enter in to the school. And, do you believe in God? They ask her. She says, yes, I believe in God. And the gunman pulls the trigger. And yes, Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold murdered Casey Bernal. Some parts of that story have been called into question, how that all happened. Chris, her younger brother, after waiting 24 hours to see if Casey was going to be amongst the survivors, went into her bedroom. He was searching around his sister's bedroom, and he sees a little note that she had scribbled just on Sunday of that week. Here's what it said. If someone went into your bedroom, what would they find? Here's what they found in Casey's bedroom. Now I have given up everything else. I have found it to be the only way to really know Christ, to know what it means to suffer and to die with Him. So, Lord, whatever it takes, I will be one who lives in the fresh newness of life of those who are alive from the dead. And on April the 24th, she went home to be with her Lord. Isaac Watts was born in a Christian home. He was saved at 15. 200 of his 600 hymns were written before he was 23. I'm reading that, but did you get it? 200 of his 600 hymns were written before he was 23. The deep yearnings of his heart, the personal, intimate relationship he had with the Lord. He wasn't waiting until retirement to get to know his Christ. Before he was 23, he wrote 200 of his 600 hymns. And this is one of them that he wrote before. Not when he was retired, an old man, was he reflecting on the life that Christ gave up for himself. Before he was 23, he wrote it. Stand and sing this hymn.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ, my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. See from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow, love, loathing, go down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? His dying crimson like a robe spreads o'er His body on the tree. Then I am dead to all the globe, and all the globe is dead to me. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my life, my own.
Choices. One choice in the wrong direction can lead. You see, Christ, the vertical, the world, just one choice in this direction, if it's not corrected, if it's not made right, you see, where it ends up, further and further and further away from Christ and intimacy with Christ. One choice moves you away from Christ. Maybe you're in the throes of making a choice tonight. Maybe you're thinking of someone that you know in school who isn't a Christian. Someone at work who isn't a Christian, and you are. One choice to move you further out from Christ. Is it worth it? Is it where you want to go? Is it what you want to do with your life? Choices. I have a lot of emails, wet emails, tears. There were tears when they were written, and there are tears when they're read on the receiving end. Are you making a choice that will cause tears to run down your face? Tears down your mom and dad's face? Choices? Our life, when the headstone goes up, is really just a collection of the choices that we have made in life. I want to end on this. God could have whisked you away to heaven. The moment He saved you, He could have said, "Phew, up you go." But He didn't. He left you here. He left you here to get a super big job. He left you here to get the hottest wheels in town. He left you here to build the fattest bank account in town. He left you here to take the greatest, the most exotic vacation. He left you here for all of the above reasons. You say, check your notes, I don't think so. No, He didn't leave you here for that. Those are just means to an end. Don't ever get sidetracked as a believer. Yes, you need a career. Yes, you need to make a living. Yes, you need to be where God wants you to be. But don't be sidetracked. These aren't an end in themselves. They're just a way to keep bread and butter on your table and how to support the things of God. He left you here to be a channel of blessing. Heaven's purposes, Christ has gone back to heaven, and He's left us here to be channels, upright channels, that He can flow, if He so chooses, His currents down through you, down to a lost world that He loves. I want to ask you this before I pray. Are you in a position tonight? Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy about clean vessels, unclogged vessels. Are you upright? Cleaned out inside so when He wants to use you, work out His purposes down here on planet Earth. Are you clean inside? Or are you out of whack? Out of commission? The good news is, young person, tonight, God is a God of restoration. I can't think of any better outcome at a conference apart from God's salvation than for someone to be restored to the Lord. Back on track for Christ to live the rest of your days. Do you see why? Paul wrote Timothy and he said, Oh, Timothy. And they're looking down from heaven tonight. Oh, young person, live for Christ. Make your life one of eternal significance. Walk humbly before your God daily, and God will do something with your life that you never dreamed could be done with your life if you're a ready, willing vessel. That's long. I know I didn't realize the singing of all those hymns. I got too many verses in the hymns, but you've been very patient, very cooperative. Thank you very much. Is there anything else to do other than pray? Let's pray.